Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Styles McKenzie helping you make those rooms sing. Today's style tip: when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild, like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Fierce. This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Hello and welcome to the WTF1 Fantasy F1 show. Today we're going to be talking about everything Austrian Grand Prix, as well as our picks for our fantasy teams in the Grid Rival Fantasy League. Of course, myself and Amber are in our very own Golden Helmet League with a bunch of other creators and influencers, as well as being in the official WTF1 League as well. So we're going to be talking Austria first and then getting into our picks and who we think are going to do the best in that race. So first of all, Austrian Grand Prix this weekend on the backs of another Max Verstappen win. It is Red Bull's home Grand Prix. Are we going to see Red Bull dominate or, you know, do well there again? Or is there a chance for some other teams to come in this week?
I think it will be quite competitive, but every time, and we know this with my predictions, I always put Max P1, and he's super strong at this track.
We agreed this week you're not going to do that, so that because you dictate the top five. So if you put someone else outside, or you put someone else in the win, they're going to win the race.
What if I just go completely rogue and I'm just like, do you know what? Perez is going to come back. He's going to be on top form. Perez P1. I mean, it's a sprint weekend as well this week. It's the third one of the season. And, you know, we all have different opinions on sprint weekends. But it depends what happens in the sprint. You know, what if someone like damages their car in the sprint and then something goes wrong and then that's going to damage their quali and then eventually that damages the race. So I'm thinking McLaren are going to be strong this weekend. And I also think the Ferraris will make some sort of comeback. However, they had upgrades for the last race at the Spanish Grand Prix. It didn't seem to work in their favour. So you don't know what's going to happen. But Austria, that track is like a horsepower track. Mm-hmm. You know, you need to be fast on those straights. And I think now we're seeing Red Bull, Ferrari and McLaren be quite close to each other, but also Mercedes as well. So for me, it's a Max win. But I think below that is going to be quite interesting.
Amber, someone else, come on.
I know.
You have
I'm
the
so
power.
Sorry.
You can dictate whatever happens. It's what you want.
Okay, what if? I'll say Max just this once, mm-hmm. and then maybe for the British Grand Prix, we'll just
change
it.
Okay, yeah,
we'll
I like that. I like that. We hold that back. Okay, that's a good plan. I agree with that. I've looked at the weather. Sadly, it doesn't look like any rain at the moment for this weekend. Okay. So nothing to change things up. Something I have noticed over the years, though, is teams that do well at Monaco tend to do well at Austria. Because, and you might think, well, how does that make sense? It's not a slow speed circuit. It's all about long straights. But there's a lot of slow speed corners. There's a lot of hairpins. And that is really where the time is sort of gained around there. So Ferrari were good at Monaco, was the best at Monaco. So potentially they could have a chance to be good at Austria, and that's what I'm kind of hopeful for. I don't think Red Bull will have the problems that they had in Monaco due to it being obviously a street circuit, and they struggled a little bit there because of that. I think they'll still be good, but if Ferrari are the better team in the slow speed corners, this could be a good chance for them this weekend, which I'm kind of hopeful for. As I keep on saying on these podcasts, I don't want Max to lose the race because I dislike him. I just want a championship fight. So I'd like to see Leclerc and Norris 1-2 either way, because they're both chasing in the championship, and then a Max, you know, third. I mean, if Max can have some sort of mechanical issue and he's out of the points and we get close to the championship, amazing. You know, that would be
I think
good
everyone
for the show.
Would love to see that. Exactly. But if we're going to go off what it was like last year, it was Max, Leclerc, Perez, and then Norris. So maybe we might see something similar to that this year. Norris obviously says it's one of his strongest tracks. He loves it. And if the car's performing how it has been this season, or the past few races at least, then maybe there will be those battles again. Maybe he will come to redeem himself and fight against Max, because we saw that the McLaren was sort of the strongest or the fastest car on track when everyone expects it to be the Red Bull. So if that can carry on to Austria, it's going to be really exciting. But what I'm loving at the minute is the storylines. You know, yes, I'm going into it saying Max P1. But like underneath that, you know, you don't know who's going to come out on top. And because everyone is changing their cars and their setups and the upgrades each week, it really is anyone's game. Like, what if out of nowhere, the Mercedes just come out on top and get above the McLarens and the Ferraris? It all depends. I mean, I would say the McLarens and Ferraris are stronger at this track. But if something goes wrong for them, you know, someone has a crash and a safety car comes out, it's all about strategies. It's how you get back out on top after all the variables. So I'm hoping it's interesting. And I've said this for the last few races, and it has actually been quite interesting. So again, it's the Formula God speaking. I'm calling
it. Whoa, you're calling yourself now the Formula God. Wow.
I'm going to get so much hate.
Just because you've got
a
few predictions right, now you're calling yourself the Formula God.
Please don't think I'm big-headed, everyone. No, but it's true. It's true. You know, my predictions are, at the minute, are proven to be quite right. So
yes. We get it. All right. You're the other best at predicting, and every single time you get it right.
I'm going to bet, Hayden. Yeah, but you're doing better than me in fantasy, so exactly, you've got that so, above yeah. me.
I'll take that. Okay, that's fine.
You're going to have that one. I'll let you have that one.
So who are you thinking is going to be coming close to Max, if you think Max is going to be the one on top? Is it going to be the McLarens, and is it going to be Norris, or is it going to be the Ferrari, and is it going to be Charles Leclerc?
I mean, it depends on where I'm looking, because if I'm looking just, you know, at driver craft, I would say Norris is going to come out back on top, and he's going to really fight. He wants to get that P1. You know, he does say it was robbed from him at the Spanish Grand Prix, so I think he's going to have that fight and drive in him. And it's like I say, you know, if the car is there, you've got two great components. So I think Norris is sort of his biggest rival at the minute. But it depends, because if Perez just comes out again and, you know, he's performing better, maybe people say he's too relaxed at the minute because he's got his extended contract. Maybe if he's like, actually, I need to prove myself, and then the car is there for him, if he's found the sweet spot with that car, Perez might be up there again, and then it'll be a Red Bull 1 and 2. So the person sort of closest, I do think, is going to be Norris, but I don't want to jinx it. But I don't know what you're thinking.
Well, I'm thinking similar. I think the Ferraris could do well, because they did well at Monaco, but based on at least the last couple of races, it has been the McLaren that has been the closest to fight with the Red Bull. And it's been Lando, because we keep on discussing about Oscar Piastri's tyre management, and he is struggling a little bit in that sense. And I just think that, yeah, the closest person to be able to fight to Max is Lando. And I think that's probably what we are likely to get. It's going to be a England versus the Netherlands double header on Sunday, because there's a high chance that England play the Netherlands in the Euros in the round of 16. So we're going to get the Formula One first. England versus the Netherlands. Let's see who comes out on top. But then it's round two in the football straight after for one of the teams to get revenge. And it should be a good day of sport. And yeah, I think for me, I agree that Lando's been the one who's been more consistent recently. The McLaren has been more consistently up there, whereas the Ferrari's kind of fluctuated. There's been races. It's been really strong, but also races that it's kind of dropped off a little bit. So McLaren is kind
Unless
of your best
Alpine
bet.
Alpine just sort of come I mean, out they're on the up, like they
so
did.
Who knows?
Exactly.
The step they've taken so far, let's take another step and just start winning.
Do you know what?
All.
We'll just throw it in there. I'll put that in my predictions. Alpine, P1 and P2, Estee Bestie, get back on that podium. Just spice it up. Why not? I mean, if they found a good place for the car at the minute, I think they'll stay quite nicely somewhere like the P6, 7, 8, somewhere between there, if they can keep it consistent. But we'll see. I wouldn't mind to see them on a podium or higher up in the points.
Yeah, they've kind of replaced Aston Martin, really, haven't they? Aston Martin's role or place was at the start of the season just at the bottom of the top 10 and sometimes getting into that sixth position and around there. So yeah, I feel like Alpine have kind of stepped into that role. I do still feel like they're a little bit too far off to be challenging the Mercs, especially as Mercedes have taken a step up and come a little bit closer, that, you know, maybe even they will be the ones that challenge near the front as well, because, you know, both Hamilton and Russell have been looking better in recent weeks. And if they bring any upgrades or they take a step further, then who knows, maybe they can start to get within the mix. And it is such a long season that even though you're down at the moment, there's still 14 races left to go. We've still got over halfway of the season left to go. Anything can happen. The development race is on. And I think that makes Formula One very, very exciting when you have seasons where, okay, someone might be a little bit more dominant in the start, but then they start to really get caught up. I'm thinking, for example, 2009, a season that I didn't fully watch. I wasn't fully invested in Formula One back then. I'd watched the occasional races. Of course, I would play the games. But it was a season where Brawn was so much faster than everybody else at the start of the season, but didn't develop their car. Red Bull did and started to close them in, and it brought a championship fight in. And that's potentially what we could have, especially over such a long season, that, you know, a few bad races for a team, or a team that just drops off by the end of the season, Nui's not going to be working on the car for the rest of the season, that those teams that are catching up could have a genuine chance of being in the mix and being in the fight. And Max needs to really make the most of all these races at the moment that Red Bull are on top.
This is why it's quite difficult to, I think, give opinions now going into races, because anything can change, or sort of like the next few races. You'll get all your data the week of the race, and then obviously that's where we make our predictions or opinions of who we think is going to come out on top and who's going to be the losers of the race. But it's getting more and more difficult because you're just like, is it going to be the Ferrari? Is it going to be the McLarens? You know, what's happening with Red Bull? Are they taking a step back? And that's what we need. You don't want the season to just be Max all the time, and we're getting closer and closer to those championship battles. So I'm looking further ahead now, past the Austrian Grand Prix. I'm going to call it. I do think the British Grand Prix is going to be an exciting one, because we've seen this in the past few years. You know, the Brits especially, they're fighting to get on that podium. So if they've got a strong car and they can even get into those positions, you see that coming out more. But then again, you know, I think the Ferraris of Carlos Sainz and Charles have both been quite good at Silverstone as well. So I think that one's going to be quite interesting to watch, but I can't wait.
Could you imagine?
I'm getting too excited.
Could you imagine we have all three Brits on the podium? Lando wins.
Oh, that would just be amazing.
Hamilton, then Russell on the podium. Like, that would be absolutely incredible. I don't know the last time that happened. I'm sure there is a stat somewhere and somebody knows. So let us know if you know. When was the last time we had three British drivers on the podium? I know there's a lot of people that will not want to see that at all. But for me, as a patriotic Brit, I'm obviously going to love to see that. And I'll be really, really cool.
But they're drivers that are, you know, they're really proving themselves at the minute. So say if it was like Norris was, you know, at the bottom end of the grid, and we're like, we'd love to see the Brits, and it's so unrealistic. But in this moment in time, it's not super unrealistic.
If a mechanical issue happened for Max Verstappen in those latter stages of the race, it would have happened, because they were second, third and fourth. So it could happen, but I think you're relying on outside elements coming into it of a mechanical issue for Max Verstappen, really, because the guy is just so consistent. And like you do with your predictions, and like, this is what annoys me most about our predictions, is because it's the obvious answer, and I always like look at the obvious. It's like when you pick driver of the day and it's the driver who won. That's why Max Verstappen doesn't really get driver of the day as much.
Oh, I because never
he
pick
wins
driver of the day.
He wins. He's on pole position most of the time, and it's just been a perfect race, which deserves driver of the day, of course. But it's like it's like the cop out, isn't it? You can't just pick the person who's already won. You have to come up with something, a reason that nobody's thought of, you know, that why this other person is driver of the day. And I guess that's what I do with my predictions.
But that's the thing. I tried to go, like, not rogue, because obviously I kept the top four quite realistic. But I was like, okay, the last one, number five, is going to be a Ferrari. And I was like, okay, I think Charles has got the upper hand in most of the races, and probably going forward, and you're looking at practice sessions, they weren't too far off each other. It was only in Q3 that Charles obviously got the upper hand, because in Q2 they were quite similar on pace, and I think Sainz was actually slightly above by a few seconds. So I was like, okay, they're quite close, but I think Charles is going to come out on top. But I just wanted Sainz to get P5, because it's the Spanish Grand Prix, it's his home race. So I was like, I'm just going to do it. I don't think it's going to happen, but I'm going to put it out there. And it didn't happen, Aiden. So I'm fuming. I could have got top score if I just stuck to my guns.
I love the difference a few weeks make, that here we go from Ferrari on top. It's just like, I just want Charles Leclerc to win his home race. That's what I want. But for Carlos Sainz, I just want him a P5 in Spain, okay? I just want him to get that P5.
Sorry, Sainz. It's just, I knew it wasn't realistic, well, you know.
The car's
too many problems.
Off, sadly, since Monaco. And hopefully for them, they can build it back up. Further down the grid, any sort of surprise picks that we think, speaking about this team, Williams and RB, they had a bit of disappointment last time out in Spain. Do you reckon they can bounce back? Was it just that circuit that kind of compromised them a little bit? Or is this a case of they're now behind in the development race and they're at the back?
I think with Williams, I think they're in quite a difficult position at the minute. I just don't think they've got their head around the car, the setups. You know, we saw Albon having a few problems and saying on the radio, like, what was that? Yeah. That wasn't a driver error. That's something going wrong with the car. And they're like, yeah, yeah, it's fine. I just think they don't know what's happening, which is fine. You need that sort of breathing room and that period to get up to grips with the car. So I'm not judging them too much. But yeah, I don't think they'll be super strong. But the RBs, Cash App, Visa, RB, not our Red Bulls. I think they are just so inconsistent where they might be great or they might not. We've seen this throughout the season so far that sometimes they can come out on top and Daniel Ricciardo's there scraping a P5, you know, before obviously the race starts in quali. So the pace is there sometimes, but again, I don't think they found their sweet spot. So I can't even go into the weekend thinking, is it going to benefit them? It depends on the upgrades they're bringing. So I'm going to go through. I've not looked at any upgrades for this weekend yet. So once I go through everything, I can make a better judgment on that. But too inconsistent, the teams at the bottom, that's their problem. They've just not found what they need for the drivers or for the car.
Yeah, I think some of the other teams have kind of started to walk away from them as well. Alpine's a prime example where they have found some pace and stepped away from really... Because we talked about at the start of the season, you had your top five, which were, you know, your regular point scorers, and it was only really if one of them had an incident or a mechanical issue that somebody from the bottom five teams would have a chance of scoring points. Now you look at that and think, well, Aston Martin might be within that bottom five teams. Alpine have kind of switched and gone up. Even Sauber, who were pretty much the worst team for most of the season, based on the last race, had a big step up in improvement and in pace, and were looking better, not quite reaching the points, but was there. Haas is still pretty much in the same position, just on the edge of the points, and Aston had dropped below them or around them, and Alpine had gone above them. But RB's kind of that one that's fluctuated. They were kind of at the top as well. Now they're at the bottom. Williams was sort of in the middle, and now they've come to the bottom. So it's very difficult in there. It's very volatile.
Which I guess makes it more interesting.
Yeah,
I don't
definitely.
Know if you agree, but I guess because you are going into the races again, like,
makes
I've
it hard for us
no
to say, because otherwise,
idea.
Yeah, otherwise we'd just be like, okay, it's going to be Red Bull, then it's going to be McLaren, then it's going to be Ferrari, then Mercedes, then Alpine, then Haas, then this, then that. But, you know, next week it could be different. Alpine might not be suited to the Austrian circuit, and they're switching with Aston. Aston are back up there in the points, or Williams are really, really good, and they're, you know, solidified themselves in the points for that week. Or RB are up there, and they're doing what Daniel Ricciardo did before, where he's qualified P5. Like, that's what we love. And that's what we love, that is this season's a bit more closer together and a bit more unpredictable.
Well, I was listening to what you were saying. I was thinking of Lance Stroll. I'm actually going to defend Lance Stroll in this, because you can't blame him. You can't blame him for Aston Martin not doing well, because if you had Fernando Alonso obviously getting whatever positions and then Lance Stroll's right at the bottom, they're struggling with that car ultimately. So it's not Lance Stroll's fault now. If you bring in another driver, they're probably still going to struggle, because it's this topic that we're talking about of inconsistency. They've just not found it. And it makes me sad for Aston Martin. I'd love to see them up, you know, fighting for those podium positions. Like, it's just, it's a difficult one because they're really struggling, and they bring upgrades and they don't bring upgrades. So they're trying everything. They're doing all the correct measurements to find, I don't know, the sweet spot of this car. And they're another team that are struggling. So I'm hoping when the 2026 regulations come in, if Lawrence Stroll doesn't sell the team and they change over to a different team, then I'm hoping that might give them a bit of a push, or, you know, go the opposite direction completely and it just ruins them. And then they're back at the bottom of the grid.
Well, there's a high chance that Adrian Newey could be on the radar. The rumours are really that everyone's speculating that he's going to be going to Ferrari because he ticks off a Ferrari that he's always wanted to do and a Hamilton car, which he's always wanted to do. But Aston Martin over the other side has an Alonso car, which he's always wanted to do as well. So, you know, they come with enough money, they come with enough funds, and maybe, who knows, Adrian Newey goes there and there's a chance for Aston Martin to build things up. And, you know, maybe it's all about 2026. Maybe Honda this time around are going to make an absolute beast of an engine and we'll get the 2026 regulations right and those will be fine. I think for a lot of teams now, it's focusing on that. I think there'll be a lot of teams that look at it and go, do you know what? Yeah, we could push for a race win in the next couple of seasons, or we can sacrifice it all and focus on 2026 and be a team that is up at the top dominating like a Mercedes has done, like a Red Bull has done. So I think a lot of teams are going to really be thinking about that now. But and then even Red Bull, you know, Red Bull up at the top, they're not going to be a case of being like, okay, we're at the top, we got to stay here, we got to be dominated as much as possible. No, they're also going to look at 2026 and go, okay, let's make sure we stay there. Let's make sure that we aren't toppled and we aren't doing what Mercedes has done in a new regulation changeover.
Yeah,
so I
and
think
then they
that's
lose everything. Well, I think there'll be so much pressure as well if Adrian Newey goes to Ferrari, because everyone's going to expect him to bring this team back up to the top and, you know, be winning the Constructors' Championship and the Drivers' Championship. And if that doesn't happen, people will be pointing fingers at Adrian Newey. They're like, oh, well, if he couldn't do it. And then this whole question of, are Ferrari ever going to come back? They've now got a great team of drivers and engineers and all sorts. What is going wrong? Why can't they bring that car? Whereas if he went to Aston Martin, I think it's just sort of like, if it didn't work out and he didn't make this spectacular car, it's just like, oh, well, you know, it's one of those things. They weren't there. But Ferrari are basically at the top, so it's more difficult and more pressure. But if I were him, I'd just go to Ferrari. Tick it off your box, Adrian Newey. You have to.
Yeah, Hamilton, Adrian Newey at Ferrari is something that I am very excited for if that were to happen. So bring on 2025 and 2026. I think we're in for hopefully some exciting seasons to come. I think 2025 should be an exciting one because all the teams will come together and the timings between them all should be quite close. And then 2026 is what I always love about new regulation changes, where all the teams take those set of rules and go, I'm going to go in this direction, I'm going to go in this direction, I'm going to go in this direction. And of course, after a couple of years like we have done, the right direction sort of is quite clear and all the teams sort of come close to that one.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique Studio Plus suite awaits, with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your Studio Plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Everything from clothing to household items are getting more expensive each day. The world of fast fashion has complicated clothing production by outsourcing around the world to whoever can sew them the cheapest. And now you, the consumer, are paying the price with rising costs. American Giant is about keeping things simple and close to home. They aren't affected by tariffs because their products never leave the U.S. So when you buy from American Giant, you're taking a stand for hardworking people, local communities, and quality clothes. American Giant directly supports American manufacturers and ensures you aren't footing that tariff bill. Support American-made, tariff-free clothing with American Giant. Get 20% off your first order when you use promo code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off when you use code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com.
But for the Austrian Grand Prix, let's get some predictions in. Who is your top three? I'm going to go top three for this Austrian Grand Prix. Before you've seen any running, who do you think?
Top three. I'm so sorry. Please don't hate me, but we are starting with a Max P1.
Boring.
And then... no, I'm so sorry. And then I'm going to go in with a Norris P2. Yep. But P3 is where the difficulty lies, because is Perez going to make a comeback? I don't know. And obviously, you know, quality is not his strong suit. So I'm going to go for, why not spice it up? I'm going to go for Charles Leclerc, P3.
Okay.
If the Ferraris are strong. And we'll reevaluate over the weekend. When you see our actual predictions, I bet you they'll be completely different, because we do the predictions before quality and obviously before a race.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah, I think mine are probably going to change as well. I'm at the moment going to go Lando win, Max second.
Ooh.
And I think it's going to be close between those two. I know I said boring about you saying Max win. Not boring because Max is winning, just boring because Amber just picks always the realistic example.
Boring ones.
Yeah, all right. Give us a bit of fun. Give us a bit of excitement for the race. No, I think if it goes either way, I think it's going to be a good battle between the two of them. And I think either of them can take it. But I'm going to pick Lando, then Max. And then I'm going to pick Perez in third. And we will find out why when we get into the next part of the show, which is our fantasy picks for this week. So, of course, we have the Grid Rival Fantasy League for WTF 1, and we have it for our Golden Helmet League, which is more of like our influencer and content creator league. Currently in the WTF 1 League, congratulations to Sunha. Just, we always say your name every single week because you are just dominating at the moment. You're up at the top still. Then we got R. Kieran's in second and God and Chips in third. Very, very close between you. Well, two at the top. There's 5 points separating the two at the top of the moment. So very, very close. But well done to all of you lot. I'm still leading the Golden Helmet one because I'm, you know, absolutely killing it. But I've had to make a new team for this weekend because finally all of my drivers out of contract, which I knew I was preparing for, they're all to go out at the same time. And then that puts me in a conundrum because I don't know who to pick. Luckily, I still have time. And I still have I still have money, of course.
Which I'm very jealous about.
Yeah, because unlike you, I didn't buy them out of their contract. Silly, silly Amber. But we still have time because we can make our picks before qualifying. So I might assess what happens in practice and make that decision, of course, and might change a few things in my team. But I have got a whole new team going into Austria. And we're going to go for... So my first pick... we'll go Constructor. I went with McLaren. It's currently the top scoring one and actually the most expensive one at the moment. But they have come down 0.8 million. And this is going to be a theme about how I've picked my team. And I'm still going for drivers who are on the down because what goes down must come back up. So yeah. McLaren, I picked them. They're currently the top performing team, but they've come down 0.8 million. I've gone for Charles Leclerc just because I wanted a driver who's up the top, going to score good points. And he's down 0.3 million. Sergio Perez, I put him in my team. That's why I want him on the podium. He's come down 0.9 million. So if he has a good race, which he hasn't had for a while, and is on that podium, that's going to skyrocket his value. So I'm taking a gamble there, but I've only got him in for one race. I'm banking on a good race, and I'm going to switch him out and put Oscar Piastri back in my team. I've gone for my boy Lance Stroll. He's down 1.4 million. Aston Martin haven't been that good. I'm hoping for just a good race for him. I've got him on a one race. Yuki Tsunoda's come down 2 million after his recent performance being at the back of the grid. And I'm hoping for RB. So I'm hoping I haven't done what you've done. And I've got him in at the right time this time, and he's going to go. But I have got him for three races, so I'm hoping RB can get back to normal. I'm also starring Yuki Tsunoda. And then finally, my final change, Alex Albon. Williams had a bit of a stinker, but hopefully they can come back this weekend. He's gone down 1.5 million, and he's only on for one race as well. So I've got McLaren for five races, Yuki Tsunoda for three, and then everybody else is for one, because after that, I'm going to get back in the likes of Oscar Piastri, Nico Hülkenberg, who's just missed a consistency in fantasy at the moment. And then maybe even one of the Alpines. I had Gasly before. I'm thinking about maybe Gasly again, but if his value keeps on going up, I might avoid it, because what goes up at the same time must also come back down. So yeah, I'm thinking about the stocks and shares version of fantasy at the moment, and I'm buying low, and I'm hopefully selling high.
Very business-minded, Hayden, and I like it. You know, I'm just going in of like high risk, high reward, having no rewards and just having all high risk. But I think you've got some good picks there. But Perez, I was debating. So obviously I had four spaces left in my team. So I was debating Perez. But the thing is, I just, although he's low at the minute and maybe it is a great opportunity because eventually, you know, he might go up and then get great points, I just didn't know if it was going to happen or not. And I just didn't know if I wanted to take that gamble anymore. Been too many high gambles for me. And I was like, I'm going to try and play it a little bit safer this time around. So be interesting to watch if Perez serves you well. And if he does, I will be absolutely fuming because I didn't buy him. I went for Oscar Piastri. But this is the thing. You have more money to play around with. So you're always going to have a stronger lineup because essentially you can just cherry pick, you know, whoever you want in your team. And you've gone for some strong contenders, I would say. Go into the Alpines. I did put them in my team. And although Esteban Ocon did go up 1.2 mil, I couldn't buy Gasly. So I didn't even have the option to buy Gasly. But it was between, obviously, Gasly and Ocon. I was like, I do want an Alpine. But then I went for Ocon just because, yes, he can cause a little bit of chaos, but I think he's good at overtaking. He is that aggressive driver that he will make some moves. And if the Alpines stay consistent and stay strong for this race weekend, then he should get me some good points. Yeah. But yeah, I brought in Nico Hülkenberg, like you say, Mr. Consistency.
That's a good one.
I had him out my team for a while, yeah. And then I brought in Yuki, put Yuki as my star driver, and what a rookie error. He ruined it for me. Yuki, why would you do that? So Yuki's gone, Nico Hülkenberg's in, I got in Oscar Piastri. He was sort of my lead driver, if you call it, because I couldn't afford anyone else. But it was between, obviously, Oscar and Perez. I think there was like a 1 mil difference between the two. So I've gone for Oscar. I've gone for Nico Hülkenberg as my star driver. Esteban Ocon. Now, the next one, you'll be quite surprised. It is Lance Stroll. But
yes.
Now, I've shocked myself here because I've said the Aston Martins aren't performing. So why would I go for an Aston Martin? But I just didn't have enough faith in the Saubers because I could have went for Zhou or Bottas, but I just didn't have enough faith. And I think obviously Zhou did well, but he's gone up in value. So that's another reason why I was like, oh, well, maybe I'm not going to buy him. So Lance Stroll will just have to suffice. And I already had Alex Albon on my team because he's locked in for one more race. But everyone for the Spanish Grand Prix went down, minus Carlos Sainz. I had Yuki in my team who went down 2 mil. Fernando Alonso went down 1.2 mil. Kevin Magnussen went down 0.7. And then Alex went down 1.5. So I had a stinker of a weekend. And now I've dropped down to seventh. So I'm absolutely fuming.
Yeah, that does sound like a bit of a stinker. I was just having a look as well just then at other people who are dominating fantasy right now. And Sun Ha, for example, is doing really, really well. 130 million. He went up 6.7 million, or they went up 6.7 million in the last race weekend. And it just got me thinking, looking at that, that a tactic that I'm not meaning to go for at the moment, but something that I have done could be a good choice, where you only lock drivers in for one race weekend. So this is just, you know, vital on making sure you check fantasy every single race. But you lock them in for one weekend when they're down and at probably like their lowest. But you also look at teams that are doing well. So, for example, Alpine have been recently on the rise and they have scored above their average and they've have done, you know, well with both drivers. So, and they're also increasing in value. So investing in a team like Alpine that's not currently on the up will only gain you money. And I've currently done a bit of that, I suppose, with Albon, with Stroll, with Charles, and with Perez. They're on the down at the moment. I'm hoping that they're having a good race. But of course, with fantasy, not everything's a given. Yes, you can look at a team and go, they're doing a lot better this weekend, but all it takes is one mistake from a driver or a mechanical issue. It's no points. Your value goes down. You've lost value and you've lost points out of it rather than going for those consistent drivers and consistent teams that are unlikely to have problems. So, yeah, I'm really enjoying this fantasy this year that there's so many different tactics around it. And, you know, we learned from Cameron Das to buy low and try and sell high, which I've kind of taken on. And it has worked in my benefit and it has put me up at the top and it has given me, of course, money to play with. But maybe there's an even better way to go with that. And instead of just doing that, okay, I'm going to lock drivers in for five races because I really like Piastri. I think he's going to do well. Instead, it's like, okay, Piastri's going to do really well this weekend. I'm going to lock him in for one. And then he's out, can't buy him. But then I'll go to Perez and Perez has gone down. But then he has a good race. And so maybe that's something that...
Well, this is where my strategy, it's really not helping me. Because obviously, you know, at the start, I was only buying drivers for like one race because I didn't know how they were going to perform the rest of the season. But that just kept losing me money because they weren't doing well. I wasn't getting any money at the end. And I was like, oh, I've only had them for one race. So I need to buy them more drivers for the next race. So then I changed my tactics slightly. And I was like, okay, now I lock in drivers for longer. But the ones I think are going to do well. But then that came to bite me back in the behind. Because then I'd lock someone in and we were having a stinker of races. So it was consecutive races were just not well for them. So I was like, okay, I'll take Hayden's approach and Cameron Das' approach and I'll buy low. But then the difficulty with that is if I know someone's not going to perform well, I didn't want to buy low. Yeah. So I have no money left, but I was trying to change my strategy to buy low. And I'm only left with the likes of Logan Sargeant or Bottas who aren't getting you high points.
Yeah.
And this is why now I'm slowly falling down the grid because I have no money left. I can't even buy high if I wanted to. You know, Oscar is probably... like sixth or seventh now on the grid. So that's not super high up. You know, I can't get anything above Oscar. It's only like your 22, 23 mil was the highest I could buy. So that I'm just in a very difficult position. And I've gone down 3.7 mil. It's ridiculous. Yeah. So I just know I'm going to stay on this trajectory of I have no money. I have to keep buying low. The low drivers aren't getting me enough points. And it's going to be downhill from here.
Yeah, I suppose it's always an advantage if a driver had a DNF the week before, because then it's like, okay, they've had a DNF. So when Ferrari obviously had their double DNF in Canada, that's both drivers would have gone down in value, but you know that they're going to, unless they have a DNF next week, that they're going to be scoring in the top six. You know, both drivers should be in the top six. So then they should go back up in value. So with that, it makes sense. But I suppose with other drivers, like Logan Sargeant's down, you can't guarantee, okay, Logan Sargeant's going to have an absolute banger this weekend. He's going to be, you know, gets into Q2 and then he's just outside the top 10 and he's going to go up in value. No, he could actually just go down 0.1 mil. And whilst it's only a small amount, it's still losing value. Kevin Magnussen's, I guess, a driver that is a bit volatile as well, that sometimes he's up there, sometimes he's down there. And it's difficult to play it right. Bottas is kind of the same. And in race pace, he's outdone by his teammate on most occasions. In qualifying, he outdoes Zhou, but in race pace, he falls under. And
Because now I wouldn't suggest Kevin Magnussen. I think we always push for the Haases, but obviously more so Nico Hülkenberg. But now I'm in a position where I've had Kevin in my team for a few races and he's not getting me great points. Like, he is getting a variation of points, which is good, but they're just not high. I was getting like 84 or 90 at a push with Kevin Magnussen. Yes, you can put him as your star driver and double those points, but again, he's not consistent. So I could have him as a star driver, but then he has a really bad weekend. So I was only getting like 60 points anyway, which is even lower than what his average would be. So if you're going to go for a Haas, we're going back to our point. Go for Nico Hülkenberg. I just wouldn't even recommend Magnussen at this point.
Yeah, at the moment, I'm looking at points and like average points scored over like the last eight races. And it's really your two Saubers, your two Williams and your Haas, which their average is less than 100. Everybody else is over 100. So they are people to avoid, unless of course I know I've said that and I have got one of them in my team, but there's a reason for it that I just feel like, you know, when you drop 1.5 million there's a chance you're going to come back up, even if it's only 0.5. every little helps, as a successful slogan says. So, you know, it just gives you a little bit extra and that's going to pay dividend at the end of the season when I can buy more higher drivers that are scoring the 120 points. That's got to be the focus, really.
Yeah, but I think, you know, a lot of people in our Goals and Helmet League are having quite a difficult time at the minute. Hannah went down 5.1 mil. Josh has gone down 1.3. Sophia's gone down 3.7 mil. So we are struggling. And even, you know, second and third on the podium, you've got Ollie Swift, who went down 0.6, so it's not a lot. But Caroline went down 1.2. But then you got the likes of obviously yourself, Hayden, going up 2 mil, Nadia going up 3.3. But when I analyse your teams, you just have some really strong drivers in there. I don't say you've got any weak drivers. Mm-hmm. And looking at your team, obviously you had Joe last weekend. He, again, I think when he's on top form, he's great to have in your team because he's getting a variation of points. But obviously when he's having a bad weekend, it's not great. But still, you go for people that are a little bit more consistent. No one is super consistent because it's Formula One and anything can happen. But you've got a strong lineup, whereas mine are always, oh, is that driver going to do well? No clue. Who knows at this point? So my advice, I don't think anyone wants to take it really because I'm not doing well. But my advice would be go for your stronger drivers if you can afford it and go for a strong constructor. Don't even look at the likes of Alpine, obviously they're on the rise now, but Alpines or your Williams or anything like that. It's, you know, stay for your top constructors, stay for your top drivers with like two or three midfielders to the bottom end of the grid, and then you've got a perfect recipe. I just can't do that because I'm not rich in this game.
Well, that's what you get when you buy people out of contract. So that is a lesson for everybody.
Silly.
Just sit through the contract. Don't spend the money because you're going to need it later on in the season. What is your total value like with your teams and what you've got left over? Are you still above 100 million?
So my team value, it says 100.
Okay.
And my bank, I've got 1,500.
You mean 100,000? No, wait.
Oh, sorry.
1 million.
Yeah. 1 mil, 500,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
How much have you got?
Well, my team value is 111.8 million.
Okay, and then so it's not
my
too
bank
far
is
off.
2.8 million. So I'm about 113. I actually went down a little bit over the last two races because I did have a bit of a worse work because I had Ferrari as constructor and Sainz in for Canada. But they came back a little bit in the last weekend. but it still
so
went
it's not
less
too
than when I bought them in.
Far off. I was expecting you were just going to be like up in the massive numbers. I don't know. So the fact that we're not too far off maybe gives me a little bit more confidence, but
yeah, because it'll be better.
My strategy's not great.
Because I looked at the person who's leading the WTF1 league of Sunheart. They've got 130 million as a team value. So that is a whopping amount. And it's definitely been the focus of buying low, get back high. And that's why I'm thinking maybe instead is about week to week rather than looking over 3 weeks, week to week, who's low, give me money, keep giving me money, keep going up. That's what it's got to be the focus. Everyone in your team got to try and give you value when they come out. And yeah, maybe that's the right way to go about it.
Which I've not done that this time round because I literally locked everyone in. Oh, well, no, it depends on if I thought they were like obviously consistent enough. Mm-hmm. So Lance Stroll, I didn't lock him in for too long. But like Piastri, for example, I was like, yes, lock him in. Yes, he didn't have a great race last weekend, but I'm hoping he's just finding his feet and the rest of the season is going to be better for him. So locked him in for longer. So there is a bit of strategy at play. But yeah, it's again, it's all over the place for me. So we'll see. If I can bring it back this weekend, it'll be great. I'm great at my predictions, but awful at fantasy.
Well, we're going to find out which one of us gets it right when we head to Austria and when we come back to the podcast next week. That is going to wrap up this week's Australian. I always get it mixed up. Australian, Austrian. It is the Austrian Grand Prix weekend preview. And of course, our WTF1 Fantasy F1 show picks for our Grid Rival Fantasy League. Make sure you're following us on whatever audio platform you're currently listening to and follow us across all of our socials to see what predictions Amber makes this weekend for the Grand Prix and how closely she gets it right and how far away I am. That's going to do for us today. Thank you very much for listening to us and we'll see you on the next podcast. Bye-bye.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Did you know using your browser in incognito mode doesn't actually protect your privacy? Take back your privacy with IPVanish VPN. Just one tap and all your data, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be instantly protected. IPVanish makes you virtually invisible online. Use IPVanish on all your devices, anytime you go online at home and especially on public Wi-Fi. Get IPVanish now for 70% off a yearly plan with this exclusive offer at ipvanish.com/audio.